Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. One of the hot science news stories of 2012 is the impending publication of the latest revision of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, or DSM. The DSM is a strange publication that carries an enormous amount of weight. What it boils down to is that if your symptoms don't correspond to some definition in the DSM, your insurance company won't pay for your treatment. It's not surprising that the DSM has broadened the definition of disease. As a result, more people now fall into the abnormal category. Part of the reason that the revisions, which were open to the human health professionals for criticism, have stirred so much controversy is that just as lobbyists representing special interests write legislation for our congressmen who are incapable of writing it themselves, various members of the medical industry have been consulting on what should and should not go into the DSM. As soon as the individuals who will profit from certain diagnoses become involved, then the whole system becomes tainted. And given that the United States has more of its population on antidepressants than any other nation, and that this is a multi-billion dollar industry, the idea that more people are going to fall into this category has more than a few mental health professionals disturbed. Perhaps one of the most startling examples that I've read about is looking at grief associated with the loss of a loved one as a form of mental illness. Think about that. Do we really want a system that communicates directly or indirectly that it is wrong to feel sad, profoundly sad, and maybe for a prolonged period of time because we lost a loved one? Are we supposed to think that taking a drug that will flatten us emotionally so that loss won't bother us is a step up, a healthy response? I have trouble with that. I mean, I've gone through losses, serious losses, and not only serious losses of well-loved people, but serious losses of well-loved animals. And yeah, it's tough. It's really hard. On the other hand, if I didn't know that grief and that pain, I wouldn't have had any standard for the joy. And certainly for that minority of people who can't cope, then yes, some sort of medical treatment might be advisable. But to just script out antidepressants without the therapy to help these people make the necessary changes so that they can go back to living a full life, you know, just the fact that somebody's willing to pick up the tab for this and all the tests that get to that point, I don't think that's morally justified. And of course this concerns me because just as what happens in human behavioral health falls closely on the heels of what happens in human medical health, what happens in companion animal health and behavior often follows on the coattails of what happens in humans. It disturbs me because as we get more and more people into this category where they are being given these mind-altering drugs instead of being taught how to cope and how to deal with the full range of human emotions, their animals are going to become more important to them. They're going to turn to those animals as a reliable reference point because they're surrounded by people who aren't providing that for them. And meanwhile, I look at the companion animal gene pool and I say to myself, well, what are we doing to create companion animals that can deal with that kind of stress? where are they going to come from?
I do feel sad that little kids and teenagers and adults aren't going to be allowed to grieve anymore, according to some people. And they're never going to know how much strength and courage it takes to make it through a loss. And because of that, they're never going to know the magnitude of the joy that comes and the feeling of peace when you reach acceptance at the end of that process.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.